Girlfriends, episode number 370, Catholic All Year with Kendra Tierney. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, our special guest is Kendra Tierney, who's here to talk about liturgical living. I love this topic, and she's a fantastic resource for all things building up your domestic church. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hey, girlfriend. Thank you so much for being here. Thrilled to connect with you on the podcast once again. So Mother's Day is coming right up. It's this next weekend. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes through the years have had mixed feelings about Mother's Day. I don't know if I ever shared with you my shameful story of my very first Mother's Day when my daughter was just a baby. I had just these unreasonable expectations for the day, and I put a lot of pressure on myself and on other people, namely my poor husband, Dan, and it caused a lot of stress, and it was very unpleasant. It ended in like an epic fight between the two of us, and it's embarrassing, but I hold on to that memory because I learned a lot from that experience, and not just about Mother's Day, but holidays in general and the kinds of pressures we put on ourselves and other people. And Mother's Day is just one of those emotionally just, you know, difficult days sometimes for people. You might struggle with Mother's Day because you've recently lost your own mom, or you might struggle with Mother's Day because you struggle with infertility. And this is just a real sore point for you. And you just dread, you know, that your pastor is going to ask all the moms to stand up at your parish, or maybe, you know, your own motherhood or your experience of your relationship with your own mom is complicated or difficult in some way. Mother's Day can just bring that to the forefront. But then there's just the everyday stuff. Like, I realized years ago that days like Mother's Day or anniversaries or Valentine's Day or my birthday or Christmas or whatever, like, if I was generally in my life feeling pretty balanced and happy and respected and appreciated in my role as a wife and a mom, that those days were not a huge deal to me. But if I was struggling in those things, if, you know, I was feeling unseen, unappreciated, you know, for whatever reason, and sometimes it was just my own perspective or my own lack of communication, if I was struggling in those ways, those days could be really hard, because then you put all your eggs in that basket. Like, okay, it's Mother's Day. They're finally going to appreciate me on this day. They're going to finally say thank you. And you know, it may or may not happen like you're anticipating it's going to happen. So I want to encourage you this Mother's Day to think about, like, what are your expectations for those of you who are moms? What are you struggling with it? And, you know, communicate about those things with your loved ones. I have a sister who loves to say the key to great happiness is low expectations. And I really love that. It's very practical. It's very real. It's actually very true. Sounds mean, or I don't know, just kind of depressing or pessimistic to say you should have low expectations, but it's those high expectations, especially about things you can't control or other people's actions or responsibilities, that, you know, can lead to you feeling disappointed and discouraged. So having low expectations, but I would really just encourage you to communicate. Make your own plan for Mother's Day. Turn to Our Lady for Mother's Day. One beautiful thing that you can do for yourself, especially this Mother's Day, is to register for our online retreat, which is coming up. We're running out of time here to be able to register for it. It's happening the weekend after Mother's Day, May 20th on Saturday. This is a virtual retreat that I'm doing together with Father Ed Looney. And he and I are working together on this retreat with the theme of A Heart Like Mary's. This is a retreat for all women from all walks of life, whether you're a mother or not, or, you know, whether you're a grandma or a new mom or a single college student. This is a retreat for women from all walks of life. And in it, we're going to be looking at Mary's Immaculate Heart and sharing about what we can learn from Mary's example of love, Mary's yes to God, Mary's receptivity to the will of God, how Mary loved others. What can we learn from that? What can we learn from Mary's heart, and how can we make our hearts more like hers? So that's really the focus of this retreat. Again, Father Ed Looney is going to be one of the presenters, a really fantastic Marian theologian. And I'm going to be one of the presenters, but there's also time for live Q&A, and we're going to pray the rosary together. Really, this is something that's just going to shore you up You know, this is one thing you can do for yourself this Mother's Day, or for your mom or a mom you know. This is a great gift for that. You can get all the information and register over at goodcatholic.com/retreat. I will have that link in the show notes as well. All right, today's topic, we are talking to the Kendra Tierney from Catholic All Year. She is the liturgical living guru. I have loved and appreciated her work and her sharing of her family life for so many years. I'm sure you are familiar with her too, but even if you're not, you're in for a treat with this particular conversation. I love how honest she is and just the encouraging way she helps all of us to see the ways that we can be Catholic all year, and we can celebrate the liturgical seasons together in our homes and in our families in a way that works for us and can bring us a lot of joy. So here's my recent conversation with Kendra. Joining me here today on Girlfriends is Kendra Tierney, a recently widowed mother of 10 living in the wilds of unincorporated Los Angeles County. She has a passion for liturgical living in the home and believes that anything worth doing is worth overdoing. She is the founder and CEO of Catholic All Year, the author of books including the Catholic All Year Compendium and a little book about confession for children, and the creator of the TV show Catholic All Year at Home on Formed. I'm thrilled you're here with us today, Kendra. Welcome to Girlfriends.
Thanks so much for having me.
Happy to have you. So, okay, it's not every day you get the Catholic All Year lady on your podcast. So I am thrilled to have this chance to ask you some real questions about liturgical living. But first of all, it's right there in your bio that you're a recently widowed mother of 10 living in Los Angeles. How did you get to where you are today? Maybe just share a little bit for anybody who isn't familiar with you and your work, a little bit of your background story.
Yeah. When my oldest son was young, he was one of those kids who asks a lot of questions. And I realized, you know, my husband and I really realized that even though we had both been raised Catholic and, you know, we had all our sacraments, we got married in the church, but we didn't know the answers to a lot of his questions. And so it was really preparing my son for his first confession that really made me sort of realize that I didn't know a lot of the information that I wanted to be able to share with him. And so I started looking into, you know, what do we believe? I started listening to podcasts and reading books and just trying to learn more about the Catholic faith. In doing that, I discovered all these crazy, great Catholic traditions, things that really are supposed to be part of our cultural legacy as Catholics, these crazy patron saints and amazing celebrations that would have been held in homes and parishes and entire countries. And I realized I want that. I want that for my family. And so we had been sort of trying to focus on the hard stuff. Like, how am I going to do Lent with my kids? How am I going to get them to behave in Mass and sit quietly for the rosary? But that's really not the fullness of our Catholic faith. That stuff is still a part of how we practice the faith. We want to be able to fast, but we want to be able to feast too. And that was stuff I hadn't ever even heard of. So I started trying to sort of adopt these cool Catholic traditions and learning about the saints, learning about feast days. And it has turned out to be such a beautiful way to evangelize the people closest to me, the people in my home. And then, of course, we also involve our friends and our community. And now, people all over the world, I get to tell about it. Mm-hmm. So it really just started with a pesky little kid who kept asking me tough questions. And, and here we are all these years later, and I'm still answering people's questions about liturgical living in the home and living the Catholic faith in a family.
Yeah. And you do it so beautifully. And it's so inspiring to look at all the ways that you share all the little bits and pieces of all these kind of forgotten traditions in a lot of ways. Many people aren't familiar with them. I've learned so much by going through and seeing the different things that you're sharing and the resources you share for celebrating these different feasts and the fasting days, but mostly the feasting days. I mean, I think it's so incredible. Like, it's so amazing. There's always something to celebrate in the Catholic year, for sure. But there are some people who look at liturgical living and they break out in hives. And I think that's sad, because it doesn't have to be that way, right? Maybe you could speak a little bit about that. You obviously are like the original rock star of liturgical living. Like, you know, and not every, so, and thanks be to God for the beautiful gifts you have of homemaking, of cooking and crafting and all of the things that you do. And yet some women, I think, are look at that beauty and think, I could never live up to that. Like, what might you say that to encourage somebody who's kind of on the fence in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I am not the original. There are a couple books that I read early on in this journey. There one called The Year and Our Children by Mary Read Newland, and there's another one written by Maria von Trapp called Around the Year with the Trapp Family. They're both written in the 1960s, and they really are about bringing these old Catholic traditions, you know, which were very old even at that time. Into the home. And I read, especially the Year and Our Children by Mary Read Newland. I read that and I thought, well, that sounds nice for you. And I can't do any of that stuff. You know, she talks about cutting liturgical symbols into bread. She talks about like a nice thing to do during Holy Week to keep boys quiet is have them, you know, like clean out the chicken coop. And it would never have occurred to me to cook bread at your house. And like, I live in LA, how am I going to get chicken poop? And yet here I am all these years later. And I do, you know, I just taking it really slowly and trying to incorporate things in like one little thing at a time, tweaking things a little bit. And, you know, now I do bake bread at my house. I don't cut liturgical symbols into it. That just occurred to me. Maybe I should try that. And we have a chicken coop and we have chickens and I can send my boys out to it. But for me, it took some time to digest it because it is a lifestyle. It isn't just like something that you just pick up like, oh, we'll do this craft or, oh, we'll read this book or something. It's a way to infuse your life with your Catholic faith and your activities and your foods and everything. And once it's happened to me, it just feels so natural. And I read, you know, especially I read like old, old books and historical fiction, but especially books that were written a long time ago. And you can really feel that these liturgical living traditions were just part of their way of life. And And in my home, that has been something that really, it has been possible for us to live like that. And now it sort of comes naturally. But the way that we started was to just try to take things that we were already doing and tweak them a little bit to be Catholic. So, you know, we live right at the foothills of the mountains. We like to go on family hikes. And I just tried to sort of tie that with, you know, St. John Paul II. People know, you know, he likes to go for hikes. So let's just make sure that this week we go for a hike and we talk about that Pope John Paul II likes to go on hikes. There you go. That's liturgical living in the home. So it's a way to be inspired by the saints and we can do that by just sort of by making the activities and the things that we were going to do anyway fit with the liturgical year. So I'm not a person who does a whole lot of crafts and stuff with my kids.
Nobody believes that, Kendra.
No. I like to do crafty stuff alone and chase them out of the room.
I get it, yeah.
but you know, if you're going to print out a coloring page, you know, why not make that fit with the feast day a little bit? And because I am going to be cooking dinner every night, I try to have have our meals reflect the year. And I found that one has really been fun and meaningful and something that we've been able to stick with for a really long time. Because all it takes is a little bit of planning ahead. I'm really not a planner aheader. But if I can just look at the calendar and see, you know, what feast days are coming up. And if I was going to, you know, make spaghetti one night anyway, if I have it on the night that's a feast day of an Italian saint, then it just opens up the door to conversation.
Right. I think that's a very practical way of approaching it. So talking about planning just a little bit ahead. So this episode is going to air sort of at the beginning of May. Like, what might you say to somebody who's done none of this? A newbie, right? And maybe a little bit of trepidation there. What would you say like would be a good feast to start with and a simple activity maybe they might just get their feet wet with?
Yeah, so I will say that the liturgical living thing to do in May is a May crowning, which is such it's a really sweet, beautiful little tradition that's so easy to do at home. Any Mary statue that you have, just get, if you have some wire or coat hanger or something, that you can get something that's in a circle shape of about the head size of your Mary, and just pick some flowers out in the yard and shove them in there and crown her. You can also make paper flowers. You can print out a picture of Mary and cut out flowers and stick them on there with tape. It's very flexible, but it's a way that we can honor Mary in our home. May is the month of Mary. And, you know, and stuff like this, it's really, I think it's memorable for kids to be able to have these activities that they can participate in at home. And as important as the Mass and the, you know, the liturgy is, that's something that kind of feels like it happens away from us, from, you know, from kids. And to have these traditions that we're doing in the home, when they can ask questions, when they can participate, I think it really makes it meaningful for them. And yeah, so if you've got a especially if you've got a Mary statue or any image of Mary at home, to just take the time to do a little May crowning statue. I've got a booklet at CatholicAllYear.com that people can download. But if all you want to do is, you know, say the Hail Mary and put a little flower crown on Mary, that works. We also have a kit for making your own, an easy May crown that you can make one for a kid and or an adult if you want one, and one for your Mary statue. But one that's not something that's not really particularly tied to the liturgical calendar, but a way that I think is a really good place to start is, you know, I was inspired to start all of this by my kids, and you know, I keep it up because of them too. And so while there are lots of seasons and feast days during the year that that are very important to the universal church, I think it's good to start with sort of more of an interior focus, where what I encourage people to start with is what we call the three special days. And so every person in the family gets their three special days. One's their birthday, but then the others are their baptismal anniversary and their name day. And it's a way to really show by our actions that we really believe what we say we believe about our faith. And and our baptism is really important. And we can believe that it's important. We can say that it's important. But if we don't do anything to remember that day for our kids, why would they believe us? Because we're not acting like we remember it. So it's the difference between, you know, they get a cake for their birthday, they don't get anything for their baptism anniversary, then clearly that is not as important, right? So have dessert on their baptism anniversary, and we find their baptismal candle or a substitute candle. We sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. We have a special little plate. We have a red plate that says you're special today and you get to eat off of that. It's all stuff that isn't too complicated for me to do year after year and for a big family. But to single out, you know, have the kids get to get a little bit of extra attention and to really be reminded that your baptismal anniversary is really, really important. That changed you forever. And we can talk about what that means. And then same thing on their name day, they get to pick what we have for dinner. We get to have a dessert. And then we talk about this saint that we take so much time to choose our children's names. And if we chose to name them after a saint, we want to make sure that they understand, you know, why we did that and how we hope that the saint will intercede for them and inspire them. Now, Kendra is not the name of a canonized saint. So not all of us have saint names, but you can always just pick a patron saint that feels
or
special to you.
Or your confirmation name. Or
that's
something
right.
Like that.
I go with my confirmation saint, Saint Joan of Arc. but yeah, so that's I think doing the, you know, sort of adopting the three special days, I think is a really good way for people to start. And once you start, your kids will remind you, because anything you do once is a forever tradition, right?
I have definitely experienced that. Oh my gosh. With some of my kids more than others, but kids really do respond to that idea of tradition. Like, you know, I think my daughter Gabby is our tradition person around here, and she's always like, but we always do. I'm like, we did that one time. Like, I know you enjoyed it, But I mean, gosh. So yeah, but I like how easy you make that sound. You know, it's doable, right? It doesn't have to be something that's going to overwhelm you. Although three special days times 10 kids, you just added 30 feasts to your calendar. So, you know, but that's just large family living, right? Maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because there needs to be a balance there for sure. I remember telling somebody, you know, talking about having a simple Christmas and wanting a simple Christmas. And I'm like, even simple times, you know, the number of kids we have turns into a big old thing. And that's just what large family living is like, you know, and in some moments it's glorious and in some moments it's challenging. But what has been your experience having a large family and balancing it with things, these other kinds of goals that you have for your kids?
Yeah, I definitely see it as a help for keeping motivated and inspired for doing these kind of traditions. Because like I said, you know, the kids get excited about them. And right. And it really is beautiful the way that the liturgical calendar works, that it always comes back around again, right? That it's and so in difficult and you know, in challenging seasons, maybe we're gonna do less. If we're, you know, mm-hmm. if there's a new baby or if people are sick, then maybe something gets observed very minimally or not at all. But guess what? It's gonna come around next year. It'll be okay. And I love the way that it allows us to, you know, to talk about, because a lot of these feast days really feature important parts of Catholic doctrine. And mm-hmm. so we're able to, you know, sit there around our food pun dinner that I came up with, and really, but talk about, you know, these pieces of Catholic doctrine or these lives of the saints or concepts like martyrdom, things like that we can introduce. And the kids can hear about us talking about them when they're little, but then each mm-hmm. year they can understand a little bit more and you know, participate in what we're doing in a more sophisticated way as they get older and as they've heard it again and again. And just to see how my older kids, you know, really love to do these traditions again, you know, something like a May crowning or some of our Advent and Lent traditions that we do year after year. And the older kids really are able to, you know, help introduce the littler kids to them. And it sort of keeps us all interested in it. You know, to me, the big adjustment, my youngest is three. And so the big adjustment for me, I think, is going to be, you know, as we don't have little kids in the house anymore and trying to, you know, observe the feast days in a way that's going to, you know, keep their attention, which I think, you know, clearly there still are those ways. There's beautiful prayers and other pious practices that are associated with the feast days too. And so mm-hmm. maybe we change our focus to that, but I don't know. I think my big kids are still going to like dessert.
They're going to want cake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, so you started out with the website Catholic All Year, and it's led to books and other projects and many different downloadables and different kinds of products and resources that people can download if they go to your website, Catholic All Year. But now you've got a TV show. So tell me about this. How did this come about? What is it all about? And just give us all the details.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a surprise. It wasn't something I was really expecting. But yeah, Formed reached out to me and said, you know, have you thought about doing a show? Is there anything that you would want to do? And I hadn't really, you know, we had had little shorts on YouTube before, but I hadn't really thought, you know, what would a Catholic All Year show look like? And finally, we sort of landed on what I really wanted was just for people to be able to see what liturgical living in the home looks like. And, you know, okay. just like what you were saying before, that it feels overwhelming. It feels mm-hmm. like, oh, this is something you'd have to be an expert on everything to manage. And I wanted to just show people, here's what it looks like in one person's home. So we decided it would be a cooking show because, you know, people know what a cooking show is. But really the idea is, you know, come into my kitchen. It's shot at my house. Like, come to my kitchen and see how we do it. See how mm-hmm. what I talk to my kids about, what, you know, how we put things together, how we work together as a family. Mm-hmm. So it's technically a cooking show and we do some cooking, but really what I want is just to show people, here's how one family does it. And you can take that and you can, you know, make it fit into your particular circumstances and, you know, and the amount of time and the skills that you have. The timing on it, you know, I think might seem crazy to some people from the outside, but it was beautiful timing for us because you know, it, we lost my husband, Jim, in July, and we started thinking about doing the show in like September, and it ended up just being such a great way for us to work together as a family. And so we had, you know, we had three cameras and all the lights, and, you know, we'd worked on the script, and we did, you know, we did all the wardrobe and the set design and, you know, planning the recipes and everything. And then it was something that we were really able to, you know, to come together and do together as a family, and something that we have done together as a family for so many years. And so it's always a little awkward to do it with all of the, you know, with cameras pointing at you, but it's something that the kids are used to. And we really did have such a fun time shooting it. So the episodes are called, are named after particular feast days and feature recipes for those feast days. But really, you can watch them any time. And my hope is, you know, is that people are able to take, we sort of highlight different aspects of liturgical living in the home in the different episodes, so that the hope is that people can watch them and be inspired to, you know, try it on their own.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So it's available on Formed. How do people get it?
Yes. Yeah, it's available exclusively on Formed. A lot of people's parishes have access. A lot of people have access to Formed through their parishes. So you can just go to formed.org. And if you put in your parish name or your zip code, it'll show you which parishes in your area have this, you know, parishioner subscription. And then if there's not one in your area, there's a free 7-day trial you can try. And then you can just subscribe to it. I think it's $10 a month. And there's lots of great family and content on Formed that we are excited to be part of.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great. I love that it's a family project. And like you said, it might seem weird to somebody on the outside, like, what? You just lost your husband and, you know, and then you turn and you're doing this big project. But it's God's timing and it's God's planning for your family and God providing for your family in this, in his unique way. And I love that it all came together like that. So I can't wait to check out some of those episodes, especially because I love to see it actually happening. You know, like I'll go on someone's Instagram and be like, oh my gosh, they made this amazing looking, you know, whatever it is, pastry for some obscure saint's feast day. And I'm like, oh, what on earth? But actually seeing you do it in your own home, in your own kitchen, with your own kids around, it's going to be very encouraging and very practical too, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think one of the really fun parts of it is that you see, you know, when things don't always go according to plan. There's a Holy Thursday episode where my, you know, 6'5" teenage son and I are trying to are trying to put together a Rice Krispie lamb, and we didn't spray his hands, and he just has these like mitts of Rice Krispies, and he's trying to form it. We're finally going to be like, all right, hold on, we're going to start over. But we, you know, we kept the mistakes in because those are that's what it actually looks like, you know, in real life. And the point isn't perfection. The point is, you know, is relationship and you know, spending the time together and making these memories and having these conversations. And so I just want so much for people to be empowered to try it in their own homes, just because it has worked so well for my family for so long.
Yeah. And what a gift with the way that you share it. One more thing before we run out of time that I want to be sure to mention is your option for subscription boxes, because if people are feeling like this whole thing is overwhelming, I'm busy, I'm working, whatever you've got going on in your life. And already I'm sure there are people listening that have thought, no, not for me. This is something that can really be a practical way to support people in liturgical living and help them to plan ahead a little bit. So can you describe what that's like and how people can get more information?
Yes. Yeah. And again, it was just sort of born of how all these little pieces, you know, one by one in Catholic All Year have come about. But I would be explaining to somebody how easy it is to create this project or this craft or these decorations for this feast day. And people will be saying, like, that doesn't sound easy to me. and I realized, okay, well, you know, I know how to put this stuff together. Like, well, I'll put it together. And actually my friend Emily reached out in a DMs on Instagram, and she said, you know, I do Catholic gift boxes. Maybe we could work together to create something. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Like, cause that's what I have the ideas, but I can't handle all the logistics. So now, so with her expertise and mine, we were really able to put this together, and we send out supplies for three feast days for each month just to get you started. And really, even if I tell people, if you just got a couple of boxes, then you'd be able to see, like, these are the types of things that I do at my house. And then, you know, you can come up with them on your own. But but I really love getting the boxes now, too, because it does, like you were saying, it gives you that little head start. And, you know, you don't have to plan ahead. We really try to include all the pieces that you need. So it isn't like, oh, I have to run out to the store and get these three things or I can't do it. We try, you know, whenever possible to have what you'd need to accomplish it right there in the box. And so it's just little, like, there's recipes in there and family activities and crafts and things, but really, again, just ways to interact with your family about this feast day and start family traditions. I think it's, you know, I know a lot of grandmothers who send it to, you know, to their grandkids or godparents who send it to their godchildren. And just, you know, just a way to sort of jumpstart it in your family if you haven't tried it before.
Yeah. So people, you can get all that information at CatholicAllYear.com. There's a tab right there to learn more about the liturgical boxes and all the other resources that you have going on over there, Kendra. Kendra, I thank you so much for all that you do, for the beautiful ways that you share, for the encouragement and inspiration that you offer all of us in our own versions of liturgical living in our homes and in our families. But thank you especially for coming on Girlfriends and sharing about it today. I've really loved talking with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, we were back mommy blogging in the day. So
back in the day. Yeah. I know. We're the OG.
I know. We are.
Somewhere there's going to be some sort of prize for that. I haven't seen it yet, but I guess we're living the prize,
right?
That's
right. Yes. Still at it.
What a joy to talk with you today. Again, my guest has been Kendra Tierney from CatholicAllYear.com. Check out all the good stuff she's got going on over there. We've got more of the show coming up for you, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Did you know that every single item in a Catholic church points us towards heaven? Make every visit to a Catholic church a powerful reminder of God's presence with a new book from Ascension, The Sacred That Surrounds Us by Andrea Zachman. The Sacred That Surrounds Us awakens Catholics to the mystery of the seemingly ordinary items we see every week at Mass. It explains with clarity the symbolic realities and historical facts of each one. To order The Sacred That Surrounds Us, visit ascensionpress.com or Amazon.
Welcome back. Now it's time for a little bit of listener feedback. And here today, I heard from Maureen, who wrote in about the podcast that I did during Holy Week. And here's what she said. Dear Danielle, I love your podcast. I feel like we are girlfriends. I want to thank you for your suggestions for Holy Week. I particularly like the suggestion to let something go. I've been to confession, but still feel shame, remorse, and grief over a particular sin. I believe God has forgiven me, and yet I still carry the burden of my sin. Satan is taunting me. How can you ever be holy? Look at what you've done. But this Holy Week, I am going to work at letting it go. I'm going to be as merciful to myself as God is to me. That's the extra I'm going to focus on. Thank you. You also suggested sharing ideas for Holy Week. I heard this on another podcast. I guess I'm a podcast junkie. Since the church suggests the areas of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, do three things every day. I wasn't sure how doable that was, but it made me think, I could fast from something different every day, say a different prayer or pray to a different saint, and put a certain amount of money aside or clothing or a household item to donate or spend time with someone who needs a little company. And then it became doable. Thank you for sharing your ideas and making wonderful suggestions. You are making a difference. Your girlfriend, Maureen. Thank you so much for that, Maureen. I'm thrilled to hear that you focused this year on letting go of that guilt and shame that you were holding on to from that past sin that you had forgiven in the sacrament of confession. I think that is beautiful that you spent your Holy Week doing that. And then thank you too for the kind of doable idea for Holy Week of just doing some small things. And I think that really applies to even what we talked about here today with Kendra about liturgical living, that just starting with something small, something doable, just making it work for you rather than overwhelming yourself with all that there is that you could do and this perfect idea and this thing you saw on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever. Start with where you are. Start with something that feels doable for you, that's a good fit for your temperament, for your gifts, for your personality, for for your family. So whether we're talking about ideas for Holy Week or ideas for liturgical living or ideas for your prayer life, just starting there with what you can do, I think is such a beautiful gift. So thank you for that reminder, Maureen. If you want to send me an email for me to take up in this section of the podcast, you can email me directly at danielle@daniellebean.com. You can get in touch with me through Voxer. The link to connect with me on Voxer is always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. If you want to subscribe to the show notes for the Girlfriends podcast, you can do that by texting the word girlfriends to 33777. Easy way for us to stay in touch, easy way for us to stay connected, and for you to never miss an episode of Girlfriends. So win, win, win. Definitely do that right now. All right. I want to thank you so much for being here with me today. That's all the time we have, but I am grateful for the time that we get to spend together here on the podcast. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for all the ways that we're able to connect outside the podcast, whether it's through the retreat over at goodcatholic.com/retreat or in the Girlfriends community at girlfriendscommunity.com or through email or social media. I love all the ways that you reach out. But most importantly, I am grateful for you being here right now. Thank you so much for showing up for this week's episode of Girlfriends. I'm so grateful for your presence here. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.